And the Easter story, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the most important story in the Bible. All the Bible and all of history revolves around the events of those 3 days and 3 nights. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are only two events during Christ's first 3 years that are repeated in all four. Those are his baptism and the feeding of the 5,000. Those are the only two events in all four of the Gospels. But when you get to the last week of his life, in particular the last 3 days, those are recorded in great detail in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's account, because that is the main message of the Scriptures. The reason being is found here in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is the gospel defined for us in Paul's words. He says, "I didn't make this up. I received this from the Lord." He went in more detail in Galatians 1:11. He said this, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So Paul is saying that when I declare unto you here in 1 Corinthians 15:1 the gospel, I want you to know that I didn't receive this of any man. No man taught me this message. But I received this by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. And this is the gospel, the good news. And notice in verse 1, if you will receive this gospel, and verse 2, if you will believe it, verse 2 says you will be saved. You will be saved. "By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." And what is the gospel? It is this: Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's according to the Scriptures that we believe the gospel account. It's not according to any particular church. It's not according to any particular denomination. Nobody has a corner on the market. It's not according to the Baptists. It's according to the Bible. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It's Christ, not any church, not any religion, not any amount of good works or efforts of our own. Now, this gospel means good news. That's what the word means. It's good tidings or good news. And it is recorded for us very meticulously in the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We don't have time this morning to read all those accounts, although they are amazing to study. And it's something that I believe God wanted us to know the most about of anything else in the Scriptures, were the events of those 3 days. And so I'd like you to turn to John's account now, and I'm going to read a chapter, and then we're going to sing. And I'm going to read another chapter, and then we're going to sing, and then I'm going to read another chapter. And in this, if you'll listen, you will hear what Paul just described about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I usually preach on Sunday mornings. I just feel led this year to do some reading, and this is God's Word. It's quick, it's powerful. And I just have a feeling that there's a lot of people who have never really ever heard the Bible Easter story. Chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put this man, to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Let's turn to page 111 in your red books, and before we read the next chapter, I'd like us to read a fitting song, 111, What Will You Do with Jesus? 111, your red books. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken what meaneth the sudden call, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him if you will. You can be faithful to good or ill. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Will you evade him as Pilate tried? Or will you choose him whatever he died? Vainly you struggle from him to hide. What will you do with me? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Will you like Peter your Lord deny? Or will you scorn from his foes to fly? Daring for Jesus to live or die? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with
Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way. Gladly obeying thee, will you say, this will I do with Jesus. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me?
John 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold, the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews. For the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now, the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her in unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was all dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in the linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Turn to page 309. Let's sing Beneath the Cross of Jesus before we read our last chapter. 309.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. Within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way from the burning of the noonday heat and the burden of the day. Upon that cross of Jesus, thine eyes time can see the very dying heat. form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears to wander I confess the wonders of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. I take across thy shadow my abiding place. I ask no other sun shine than the sun shine of his face. Content to let the world go by to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory all across.
John 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, when the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. All God's people said, you notice the word believe in closing over and over and over again. John believed, it says, when he saw the napkin and the head by his head lying in the linen clothes. And when he saw that, it says, he believed. And then the disciples believed when the Lord showed himself to them that resurrection Sunday. And then 8 days later, Thomas believed. And Thomas, the analytical type who just wanted some proof, the Lord's okay with that. And the Lord gave him some proof. And Thomas believed. The Lord said, Don't be faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, My Lord and my God. And then in verse 29, there is a promise to every one of us who has never seen Christ physically. He says in verse 29, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. And here's our promise. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And then the writer John tells about all the other signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book. But then he gives us the main reason of why the Bible has been written and handed to the human race in verse 31. And here it is. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing the product would be what? That you might have life through his name. Over and over and over again, this story, chapters 18, 19, and 20, we've seen the word believe. Believe, believe. In fact, if you take that word and study it out and go from the beginning of the Gospel of John to the end, just that one book, I did this once, you'll find the word believe is found 99 times in some form in this book. 99 times in one book, believe, believe, believe. On the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're here today and you've never believed, I want to encourage you, first of all, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just trust in him. That's all that word means. Believe means to trust, to depend on someone else, to have confidence in someone else and their abilities, and not to trust in yourself. So many religious people today, so many so-called Christian people today are believing in themselves. When you put their faith under a microscope and examine their faith, they're believing in their baptism, their confirmation, their sacraments, their catechism that they've learned or memorized, their good works, their prayers, their Bible study, their church attendance, And they believe that an accumulation of all these things that they have done will earn the favor and the mercy of God, and God will save them. But there's a problem with that. And that problem is in God's eyes, not in man's eyes. In man's eyes, we would say, yeah, you're a pretty good person. You ought to go to heaven. But we're not going to stand before man, the judge. We're going to stand before the Lord. And in His perfect holiness, He has said that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags compared to the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Jesus Christ. We've all sinned and come short of His perfection. If we could save ourselves, Christ would not have had to die on that cross for us and be buried and rise again. But Christ came knowing we could not save ourselves, no matter how hard we tried. We could not undo nor erase the sins that we have committed. And we would have to face a holy God with sins on our account and be found guilty. So Jesus came and took all of our sins upon Him on that cross and died in our place. And then He was buried. And He rose again, the Bible says, for our justification. And now in Romans 5 and verse 1, it says that if we will have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be justified from all things. Just if I'd never sinned is what the word justification means. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. The first effect of the Easter story is that unbelievers will believe and be saved. But the second effect, and I close with this, is for those of us who are already believers. Easter is supposed to affect us too. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to read verse 15 before we have a word of prayer. Here's the effect it should have on us who are already believers. It says, "And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." See, Easter is not just so we can be saved from our sins, but it's so that after we're saved, we would be so affected by the love of God, the love of Christ, that He would die for us, that we, after we're saved, will not live for ourselves anymore, but live for Him that died for us and rose again. I hope as a believer you're not living for yourself, but you've given your life to Jesus Christ and say, "Lord Jesus, no matter what I do in life, may it be for Your glory. What is Your will for my life?" Are you a believer in Jesus Christ today? Have you ever received Him as your Savior? Paul said, if you will receive Him and believe the gospel, that Christ died for our sins. He didn't die as a martyr. He didn't die to start a religion. He didn't die because they finally captured Him and crucified Him. He died for our sins. It wasn't Jews that killed Him. It wasn't Roman soldiers that killed Him. It was our sins that killed Him on the cross. If you believe that Christ died for my sins, if I was the only person that ever lived, I would believe, "Jesus, You died for me." And He was buried, but He didn't stay dead. Unlike any other author of any other religion, Christ rose from the grave victorious over sin, death, and hell. And now He is alive forevermore. And He visits people. He knocks on the door of their heart. And He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come in to him." When I was 12 years old, I heard the gospel. A pastor led me in a word of prayer so I could trust Christ as my Savior, and I believed. I've been saved ever since. Not perfect. I'm going to heaven today, not because of anything I've ever done, but solely what Jesus did for me. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to close in a word of prayer and then sing a song, go home. First of all, I want to pray for you, and then I want to pray with you, and maybe some of you today need to ask Christ to be your Savior. Maybe you've been believing, as you really put your faith under a microscope, maybe you've been believing in religion or church or some prayer you said one time, or some emotional experience you had in a church service one time. And I know church and religion can be very, very emotional, but that's not salvation. Have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, put your complete trust in Him, put your confidence in Him and His abilities to save you? The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help those maybe here today that have never truly believed. Maybe they've thought they've been Christians all their life. Maybe they were born into a Christian home. Maybe they went to a Christian church or religion all their life. But today they're looking at Christ and they're saying, I don't think I've ever really believed and trusted in Him. I think I'm trusting in myself and what I can do. And today, Lord, I repent and I trust in You and what You did. Lord, please give people this repentance and this faith today now to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if that's the need and the desire of your heart, a God who cannot lie said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Right where you're sitting, not out loud, but as though God were the only one here and you were talking to Him like you've never prayed before, would you just say to Him, "Dear Heavenly Father, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot save myself. I'm not good enough. My religion's not good enough. My church isn't good enough. My works aren't good enough because I'm not perfect. But Jesus, You are perfect. And I believe You took my sins upon Your body and died on the cross for me. I believe You were buried and rose from the grave, and I accept You as my Savior. And this morning I trust in You with all of my heart. Come into my life right now and save my precious soul." Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I think some today have prayed to receive Christ as Savior and honestly and biblically believed on the Lord. As you've heard the Easter story, you've trusted in Christ. And just now you prayed that prayer or something like it, but from your heart you've trusted the Lord as your Savior. That's wonderful. I'm not going to call you out or anything or come see or anything, but I wonder if you could just raise your hand up right now towards heaven and say, "God knows my heart. I've asked Jesus to be my Savior today." Could you raise your hand? Yes, I see you. God bless you. And put your hand down afterward. Anybody else? God bless you too. Anybody else? Put your hand down. "God knows my heart. I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior this morning." Our Father, we thank You so much for these decisions that have been made and just for the old Easter story. Lord, I got a feeling some have never really heard it read, and that was just one of the four accounts and some of the events in there. But we thank You for the main events, that Christ was crucified for our sins and died, was buried and rose again, and is alive forevermore. Lord Jesus, we worship You, we exalt You, we praise and bless Your holy name for what You've done for us. In Your precious name, amen. Let's close turning to page 41 in our blue hymn books. And let us stand this time, page number 41. "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein." In our church, we have an altar call. I know it's late, but if for some reason you want to come and pray about anything, there's a God that loves you. Whatever's on your heart,